As I said yesterday, I was planning that last week would be the end of my story, but a lady sent a very interesting email to me, and with very interesting questions that provoked my thinking further, and so I'd like to reply to those. Colin Cook here, and I'm already replying to those. This is the second day of doing that. Colin Cook and How It Happens, thank you for joining me today. You're listening to Good News. This is the good news of the kingdom of God, the good news of Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom, and how our Father gave his Son the kingdom to give to us. What an awesome thing this is. All who trust in Jesus are receiving a kingdom. It's a wonderful truth. So stay with me as I share this postscript to my story. I'll read this the letter again to you, that the email that I received last week from this lady, so you can get some of the connections that I'm responding to. She says, "Thank you very much for sharing your story. You have softened my heart. Working in New York City for 10 years in the 80s, many of my friends were gay, which was fine by me as long as they were in the closet. It was also okay if they were flamboyant, because then they were just a joke and not to be taken seriously. I never realized the agony, the embarrassment, the inner struggle a gay man had growing up in the 50s and 60s. And while I disagree with same-sex marriage and adoptions for same-sex couples, I'm so glad there is not the same stigma towards being homosexual today as there was when you were growing up. Would you be a different person today if you grew up in a more tolerant society? Obviously, you have been honed, and you are now a fine diamond from your struggles and pain. Would you change any of your struggles if you could, or have they been a gift? I haven't followed you through Romans, so maybe there lies the answers. Thank you once again for sharing your story. Peace and love." And then she signs off. Interesting letter and interesting questions. Would I be different if society had been different? Would I be a different kind of person today? And I started answering that yesterday by saying, even though society does create difficulties for people with these struggles, nevertheless, the issue for me was scriptural. The issue for me was who I was. And when I say scriptural, I'm not talking about the laws and the rules and the thou shalt nots. I'm talking about the creation intent that we have described here in the book of Genesis. That fascinated me when God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, meet for him." That means suitable for him. I remember confessing to God, "Dear God, I don't see a woman as suitable to me at all. I would like a man to be suitable to me." I found it very, very difficult to admit that, acknowledge that to God. But I said to him, "If you want me to understand that, how she's suitable, then help me to know." I came to believe that deep down, I was heterosexual by creation, that's how I was. That's what I personally came to believe. But that somehow it was buried within me, buried by trauma, the trauma possibly of my absent dad and my polio, or buried perhaps by fears of other more normal kinds. I'm not sure, the war years. I think you remember the story of the war years that I told you. I was born in 1940, and I remember the planes going over, a bomb dropping on our gate and blowing it off and blowing the windows in. I remember the fears of the invasion of Germans, the Nazis, even though I was only 4 years old. I'd heard that little rumor. All of these were traumatizing fears. So I had to ask God, okay, if really I'm created that way, in your image, representing masculinity and femininity, then, and a woman is suitable for me, then please explain that. Please help me to see that. And I would say to God, I'd start saying to God as I'd look at a woman, and I would have to purposely look at a woman. I know this sounds awful, dear ladies and girls and women, but that's how it is. I had to focus and I had to say, how are you suitable for me? And how am I suitable to you? And then there was this other factor, this factor that said, verse 28 or 26 of chapter 1, let us make man in our image. So God makes man in his image, male and female. Now, my mind, as I mentioned to you earlier, is a sort of analytical mind. It wants to explore why the thing is written and said as it is said. And I would ask myself, okay, if a man and a woman are in the image of God, what does that imply about God? If a man is made in God's image, how is a woman made in God's image? Now we think of man, of God as male, don't we? But of course, these are just sort of anthropomorphic or man ways of speaking about God. God, according to this verse, has all the qualities of masculinity and femininity. That was very, very helpful for me and very revealing. If God makes man in his image, and when he's made the man, it's male and female, then God's image has all the qualities of masculinity in it and all the qualities of femininity. Isn't that reasonable? Isn't that logical? Isn't that just common sense? Isn't that what these verses imply clearly? We're not talking about a physical image, of course. A physical image of God, as if God had masculine genitalia or feminine genitalia. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about all the essence of being, the masculine essence of being and the feminine essence of being are in God. That cannot be otherwise concluded. This was very, very beautiful to me because I saw the fatherhood of God in Scripture, but I hadn't seen the motherhood of God, the femininity of God. Don't think I'm being liberal here or New Age. It's just that evangelicals don't often think very logically when they ought to be. When Jesus says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not let me. Henceforth your house is left unto you desolate." What was he implying? He was implying that he had all the tender, nurturing care of a mother. A mother hen. Do you see? And isn't it true as well that God describes himself as an eagle in the Bible? And as a bear, robbed of her cubs. And he says, "Can a woman forget the child that sucks at her breasts? Yes, they may forget, but I will never forget you." He describes himself as a woman in that quality of mothering where he takes care of his children, and or where she takes care of her children, and also as a father. So there is the dynamic, testosterone-filled forcefulness of God, described in earthquakes, if you like, tsunamis, volcanoes, described as a great deliverer and warrior, God delivering his people, Israel, from Egypt, and the tender care that he shows as a mother. And this realization in Genesis helped me to understand that my normal state is creation in the image of God, heterosexual, where a woman is suitable for me. But that in some way that normal state was in me suppressed and damaged, and to some extent still is. I don't judge myself anymore. I don't make myself a pariah before my own eyes. I do not berate myself that I don't have all the right responsive emotions, but I simply know who I am deep down and that, though it is buried and somehow repressed or wounded or damaged, it is perfected in Jesus Christ, who is my new Adam. And this poses some tension in me, but it's creative tension. It's not that I wanted to be heterosexual because society demanded it. It's that I saw myself as heterosexual because creation, God's creation intent, described it. But that it was lost, it was buried, and that stressed me out for decades, or a couple of decades or so, because I could only see a legalism and perfectionism in the gospel. So I wasn't what I was supposed to be, and therefore I was condemned. None of that anymore. A recognition that I know who I am in Christ, though I'm not there in myself, but that doesn't trouble me now, because Christ has got there for me. He arrived at that place. He is my perfection, my wholeness. This gives me assurance, and it gives me hope, and it allows me to live with my imperfection courageously. Now, we have a problem. Yes, one of scores of problems, but the one I want to mention to you is our recording equipment. I record this radio broadcast to you on a PC. What kind is it? Oh, well, I've forgotten, as a matter of fact. But anyway, it's a PC that is 15 years old, a computer that's 15 years old. We're using Windows XP, and it's 15 years old, the whole computer is. The Windows XP we hope to keep, that is, Tim in England feels that we should keep it because it's a more simple program, more understandable, and also that I, who am not tech savvy, would get flustered by Windows 7 or 8 or whatever's beyond that, 8A, isn't it, or something. And Tim in England is our international director of FaithQuest and also doubling as our tech director. He comes over once a year to clean up my computer and to transfer programs here and there and do all kinds of things that I wouldn't be able to do with this computer. He also works at a distance on that project by a certain program we have where he can access the PC computer, which I use only this particular one for my radio broadcasts. But our tech, other tech friends here have said, if you don't get a new computer soon, it will crash. So Tim has got the new computer in England, and he's buying the software for it, and he's loading most of it up over there. And then he will come over here and do the rest of the loading or whatever else has to be done. He has fundraised for the computer and the software over there, and I am fundraising now for his airfare, which is $1,200 round trip to London, and that round trip is at the cheap rate, you know, the not the peak rate season, sometime in January, in other words. I wonder if you could help me, especially with this airfare. Could you possibly make this donation over and above anything you would normally send during the Christmas season? Because I do very much rely on your donations for the Christmas season, for the general funds. But if you can do something extra for this, thank you. Your donations to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.